Welcome, Darksiders. Today, I come to you with a question. What does legacy mean to you? To some, it's achieving a dream you set for yourself. Maybe at a young age or at a low point in your life. That dream could be weight gain or weight loss, starting a successful business, or even getting clean. But it's something you work your entire life to achieve. To others, it's the desire to be remembered. Artists achieve this through their work, things people will talk about and debate for centuries, even after the creator is long gone. Athletes set personal bests in a bid to be remembered as one of the greatest of all time in their field. Heroes and despots alike do things we'll never, ever forget, for better or worse, in the name of their causes. And more still have children, the most surefire way in nature to be remembered, by passing down your genes to the next generation. Either way, the majority of us have goals and dreams, big and small, that we work to achieve. Not all get done, but we try to leave this world a bit better than we found it, and with at least one person remembering us for what we did with the time we had. Few among us can say we were the first, the best, or the most infamous in a certain field. I ask you this question because today's subject had a legacy. At one point, they were not only the biggest Minecraft YouTuber, he was the second most subscribed gaming channel behind the behemoth that is PewDiePie. He was also one of the driving forces behind the ever-growing and ultra-popular Minecraft YouTube culture we still see today. But he'll not be remembered for that. Not for his music, his memes, or even the trends that he set. He will, instead, be remembered for the despicable things that he inflicted upon others. This is the tale of Sky Does Minecraft. Part 1. Taking Off. Adam Dahlberg was born January 17, 1993. Their childhood was described on multiple occasions as unhappy, abusive, and damaging. Their biological father, an abusive alcoholic, and their biological mother, a neglectful parent who routinely took sleeping pills in a bid to end her own life. Adam's sister suffered from developmental difficulties and was confined to a mental health facility throughout her life. Because of this, Adam was sent to a special needs school purely for sharing the same last name. Both siblings would eventually be adopted and describe those parents as loving and their true family. While growing up, Adam would be diagnosed with bipolar disorder, autism, and eventually bulimia nervosa, which caused them to balloon up to 300 pounds at one point. It is all of this that would lead Adam to create their YouTube channel in 2011 as an outlet and a way to make others smile, their buoyant and cheerful personality propelling them to success very quickly. All of these elements would shape the darkness within Adam, and while not much else is known in detail of Adam's childhood, it's always important to document the origins, where and when at all possible. Despite the soaring fame that they would soon achieve, Adam Dahlberg would not attain this fame on the first try. More eagle-eyed viewers of his channel noticed that their username in videos was SkyTheKidRS, a quickly fading reminder of their beginnings as a RuneScape YouTuber on the now-deleted channel Jin the Demon. It wasn't until a friend recommended the hot new hit game Minecraft to them that they saw a potential new avenue for their content. In February of 2011, Sky Does Minecraft was born and immediately began making a name for themselves. Adam would find himself in the middle of a gold rush of Minecraft content on YouTube, with several thousand channels shooting their shot for an attempt at the pixelated crown. Content ranged from generic Let's Plays, self-imposed survival challenges, Battle royales inspired by Hunger Games, which utilized player versus player elements, mod showcases, and various other content that focused on sketch comedy. It was the Wild West in terms of what these YouTubers could offer. And at first, Adam was modest. A journey to the top is never with a single pair of legs. And soon enough, Sky would find themselves as part of a new venture, a collective dedicated to Minecraft, dubbed Team Crafted, was conceived in the early 2012, founded by fellow Minecraft YouTubers Deadlox and Minecraft Universe. While this wasn't anything new, Rooster Teeth had their own collective for Minecraft videos, and the Yogg's cast practically became synonymous with the success of Minecraft itself. Team Crafted immediately came through with personality, variety, a brand, and a plan, which, while it would turn out to be very short-lived, it became a veritable treasure trove of success for everyone involved, and would expand aggressively in a short span of time. After PAX East 2012, Team Crafted would recruit Bajan Canadian and Jerome ASF. Shortly after that, the group would almost double with the additions of Seto Sorcerer, Husky Mudkips, Kermit Plays Minecraft, and Sundy. Not only that, but artists and animators were hired underneath the same umbrella, namely Blue Monkey, Weed Lion, and Decepticonk. Roster growth would stop here, but soon the name Team Crafted would explode in popularity, and it's no small secret as to why. While other group channels like the aforementioned Rooster Teeth and the Yogg's cast would grow in popularity from within themselves, Team Crafted would have a head start due to the popularity and fame each member had separately beforehand. Bajan Canadian and Jerome ASF founded success with Awesome Sauce Films prior to joining Team Crafted. Blue Monkey was a wildly popular animator before working under Team Crafted's wing. Sundy had been a relatively well-known Call of Duty YouTuber, and almost everyone else involved had been hugely popular within the Minecraft community also, without the help of Team Crafted beforehand. From the get-go, videos of Team Crafted would be hosted under Sky Does Minecraft's channel, and these videos would almost immediately amass millions of views. There was a lot to like. The chemistry each member had in team efforts, the high production values these videos had, and the camaraderie the group possessed. Most importantly, it would be the spectacle of seeing so many popular Minecraft YouTubers under the same umbrella, and it would be SkyDes Minecraft who had their hands on the wheel. What's also interesting to note is that despite hosting these adventures, Sky never had the personality of being a show stealer on the surface, and some of the subscriber numbers reflected this, with each Team Crafted member involved quickly finding themselves reaching millions of subscribers. Fittingly, none would peak as high as Sky, who would find themselves reaching 12 million subscribers, at one point being the second most subscribed gaming YouTuber on the platform, with the only one in their way being PewDiePie. While it was the collaborative efforts of several YouTubers to propel the crafting game to its now omnipotent legacy, the role both Sky and Team Crafted had in this environment was an important one, not just within Minecraft, but for YouTube as a whole. It can't be overstated how integral the 2010s were to the current state of YouTube, for better and for worse. We've spoken before about the financial growth of this media giant, but one thing that has not changed on the platform in over a decade is that not only do Let's Play channels rule the roost, but Minecraft is still its king. These early days paved the way for current titans like Tommy Innit, Captain Sparkles, Dan TDM, and yes, even Dream. It was, and still is, a literal billion-dollar industry. Still, this wouldn't last for long. Despite plans to get each member to live in a house where content could be created efficiently and quickly, soon roadblocks would emerge in the form of creative differences, as well as a lack of support from one Seto Sorcerer. While Team Crafted would focus on their image and the business side of the team's potential, they felt that Seto's uncertainty in regards to appearing publicly for the channel didn't show enough commitment. As they prepared to create the new channel, Seta would be quietly kicked from the team as the rest prepared to enter the new home, ready to cook the content up. On the 8th of December 2013, Team Crafted would debut their brand new image, and the group without Seto Sorcerer, although this wouldn't be the last time they'd hear of him. In fact, mere hours after Team Crafted's introduction reel, Seto would release a video on their own channel detailing their exit and how they felt betrayed by the lack of support they had when refusing to show their face publicly in videos. It was an immediate detour from the image they wanted to represent. With the hammer bearing down on both Sky and Badgin Canadian, while it wasn't the catalyst for the team's deterioration, it certainly wouldn't help the short-lived nature of the group, as by March of 2014, many of the team members had left. Whether the reasons were commercial or creative, everyone would retreat and leave the team, focusing on their own endeavors, but not completely dismantling the friendships made. Sky would be one of those people who grew from this transitional period, choosing to go through a slight rebranding themselves. In 2015, still at the height of popularity, Sky would also showcase their newborn son, Mason, in a now privated video, born through a relationship with their first wife, Alessa. It saw Sky change the face of their channel personality-wise, reducing the amount of strong language used so that they could still show their son content from the channel. After 6 years of being at the top of the YouTube gaming food chain, there was a sense of stagnation in Sky's content, something which they certainly felt and even agreed with. Throughout their time showcasing Minecraft content, Sky pontificated about which direction to go in. The lack of diversified content, the censoring of strong language, and even the faces featured on the channel. It was something Sky consistently struggled with, and would seem to finally reach a final point. At the end of 2017, Sky would be no more, and Adam would completely get rid of the channel, and instead focus on their musical career under the moniker Net Nobody. Net Nobody would quickly become a personal passion project for Adam, something they would start to make a full-time position around the same time as the announcement of Sky Does Minecraft's channel deletion. As for the quality of the music, Adam would utilize vocal features from other artists, while they would focus more on beats, namely dubstep with trap-inspired flavorings. It would prove to be mildly successful, with Net Nobody's SoundCloud profile having 45,000 followers at time of writing. A large part and parcel of this influx of followers, however, would stem from a beef which has been disputed in regards to its legitimacy, and would involve people whom Adam, at that point, had barely interacted with. In August of 2017, UK-based YouTuber collective, The Sidemen, would engage in a large flame war with each other, stemming from content creator and rapper KSI announcing his disengagement from the group. Citing his sheer dislike of other Sidemen members as a main reason for leaving the group, what would follow is an endless barrage of diss tracks aimed at anyone and everyone who dared involve themselves within this discourse. Some of it was met with uproarious laughter, while the influencer side of the involved parties would react and commentate their thoughts and planning. Whether it was KSI, his brother DG, Bazinga, Roachshaw, or Vicstar123, everyone had their say, and it would dissipate almost as quickly as it began. One thing I'm sure you're already aware of is a complete lack of Adam being mentioned. It could be said the beginning of Adam's end came at the hands of KSI with his diss track, Adam's Apple. But it was Adam who threw the first shot and their own hubris that began to bring everything down around them. What has also been debated is Adam's reasoning as to why they decided to take part in a war where their involvement was, well, next to none. Whether it was for a new audience or a new angle on the dying flames of the war, they would make sure their voice was heard. On the 20th of August 2017, Net Nobody released a track entitled Diss Track Ed. KSI, of course, responded with Adam's Apple, a track centered on Adam's young son, Mason, and featuring their ex, Alessa, Mason's mother. This apparently was what Adam wanted, releasing Bend the Knee the same day and claiming at the end of the video that they had baited KSI into responding and utilizing Adam's ex as a means of exposing the numerous lies she had put out into the world and use it as ammo to get custody of their son, as Alessa was not allowing Adam to visit at the time. This would, it turns out, work in Adam's favor, and a judge promptly did give full custody to Adam. However, despite the seemingly noble desire to get custody of their child and Alessa's alleged infidelity and lies, you only need to dig a little bit beneath the thin veneer to find a more likely and arrogant reason. Because in the lyrics, Adam claimed in the follow-up, Bend the Knee, they did it for the meme. Not for Mason, not for justice, but the meme. The desire for clout, ego, and further fame at the expense of their young child's security and their private life staying private. This entire thing, of course, being centered on KSI having a big ego. Ironic, really. But it was what KSI intimated that would ultimately see the crack start to form and allow more people the confidence to come forward. And while the song has some pretty messed up thoughts on self-harm not making you a viable parent, it's this section that is the most telling. Now, I won't attempt a roadman accent. Instead, I'm just going to read it verbatim. Behind the mask, you're a prick, smearing blood on this chick. Yeah, let's talk about Dawn, slapping and choking from dusk till dawn. They blaming your alter egos. What the fuck? That's not cool, amigo. That's not Adam. That was John that hit you. That's not Adam. That was Sean that beat you. That's not Adam. Nah, fuck you, Adam. Any woman beater gets the fucking heater. The rumor mill was already buzzing by this point, and there's plenty of posts from 2017 still debating what it was all about and where the lines blurred. Drama Alert even showcased Adam breaking down when discussing their personal life to showcase just how much this had affected them in the process. But while people took sides, it wasn't fully known how much was just bravado and business versus real-life deplorable behavior. But behind the scenes, things were brewing, and multiple people at Sky Media were beginning to make their moves, some of which would pay dividends in the years to come. Part 2, The Day the Sky Fell. This is a small precursory content warning for anyone who is ready to push on. What follows is a disturbing recounting of an abusive relationship, one that involves emotional and physical abuse, racism, sexual assault, and self-harm. If you find yourself unable to press on or to listen further, then please skip this particular time code. Thank you. Sometimes all it takes for the dam to break is one final push, one big crack in the wall that lets the first stream of water seep through before a torrent rushes in, demolishing what is left of the solid foundations that once sat there. In this case, that occurred on January 23rd, 2022, and it came at the hands of Adam's former partner and mother of their child, Elizabeth. Within a twit longer thread and accompanying Google document, she detailed the years of abuse that she'd suffered at Adam's hands. Screenshots of disturbing conversations and manipulation, photographic evidence of Adam's violence, so much more. It was an almanac of Adam's vilest deeds. A link to the Google document will be provided in the description, as there is far, far too much to be covered in just one episode. It is an insightful read into how predators make prey. Now, a lot of this was previously mentioned, or hinted to, when Adam and KSI were beefing in rap songs 5 years ago. However, it wouldn't be until 2022 when Elizabeth would fully detail the ordeal she, and potentially others, had to face while under Adam's roof. Remember, she didn't do this for clout. She didn't do this to get a one-up. She just wanted to tell the truth. Despite a relationship that would only last several months, Adam would let Elizabeth know from the beginning that their relationship would remain entirely private. No one would know her name, her role in Adam's life, and put it under the pretense of protecting her, as well as keeping the relationship happy. Wouldn't be long before Elizabeth was pressured both into marriage and into becoming pregnant out of wedlock, while Adam would force Elizabeth to propose to them instead of vice versa. Despite the trust Adam had in mothering their child, they still offered to buy the baby from her once it came to birth. During the pregnancy, Elizabeth had to deal with a partner that failed to put in the same amount of effort, while also having to deal with Adam breaking the trust that she was meant to have for them. Several different messaging apps would be used, conversations would be deleted, and Adam would remain evasive when questioned about the suspicious activity in chat logs, DMs, or otherwise. At one point, it was even claimed that Adam attempted to coerce Elizabeth into a polyamorous relationship while also cheating on her with an AI Twitter account. This wouldn't stop Adam from publicly announcing the proposal Elizabeth had made to them, however. While Elizabeth was carrying a child, Adam's behavior would become increasingly erratic, dangerous, and unstable. While bills and other payments would pile up, Adam would engage in a drug habit, using the money necessary to escape debt to instead abuse narcotics, while also aggressively dismissing Elizabeth's worry. When moments of intimacy were planned, it would inexplicably be to Adam's chagrin, instead choosing to hang out with pals or friends instead. All of these actions do point to the signs of a typically disgusting case of an abusive relationship. Although Adam would try to one-up themselves by continuing to engage in drug use, picking up smoking, and endangering the health of their upcoming child. While Elizabeth was focusing on her child and Mason, Adam would repeatedly sexually assault and harass multiple women, while also continuing to put a target on Alessa's head. They would also engage in the time-honored tradition of internet scumbags by sending and soliciting nudes from several women, with age being irrelevant in the grand scheme of Adam's psychotic behavior. It would be a behavioral pattern that would continue and mutate as Adam would stop eating regularly and would increase the amount of verbally abusive tirades towards Elizabeth and anyone else in earshot. Their hygiene inside the house would dissipate, spreading food across the counters and walls, and confusingly banning Elizabeth from using the toilet in her own home. In the Google document, she recounts having to drive to a nearby store just to use their restroom on more than one occasion. As Adam became more reclusive, they would engage in flame wars with people on their Discord server, as well as another Minecraft YouTuber called Ant Venom. It would be at this point where Elizabeth and Adam's friends would try their hardest to keep them clean, but this wouldn't stop Adam from reaching an apex in pure rage. After an incident involving punching an amethyst, Adam would spread blood across Elizabeth's face, and while attempting to take Adam to the hospital, they would elbow Elizabeth in the stomach several times. In the hospital, Adam would continue to fly into a tirade, making several comments towards Elizabeth, spouting racist and homophobic commentary, and trying to fight the hospital staff. While Adam would remain hospitalized for a week, it would be for naught. As soon as they returned from the hospital, Adam's abusive cycle would continue, culminating in a tumultuous affair after Elizabeth called the police during a particular incident. As squad cars and EMTs began to converge on the couple's house, Adam would begin a tense standoff with unhinged behavior, threatening to kill roommates and friends alike, and also continuing to have it out for Ant Venom. Armed with a knife, he threatened Elizabeth with it also, who was still inside with them. After a police officer on the scene pretended to be a friend of Elizabeth's, she walked out of the house to confirm her safety, while police officers moved in. Adam would immediately recede their violent behavior and pretend that everything was fine from the get-go, being hospitalized from self-inflicted wounds, but this wouldn't stop them from continuing to harass Elizabeth, leading her to self-harm also. Despite Adam not caring about her current mental condition and his unending abuse, she would continue to try and support them, eventually being manipulated into arranging their release from supervised care. Eventually, enough was enough, and Elizabeth would arrange to leave the relationship with her child in tow. She would give birth 2 months after leaving Adam, with the hospital keeping a lockdown protocol on standby just in case Adam attempted to enter the premises. All of this, alongside Adam's repeated childish abuse towards the LGBTQ+ community and people of color, would be documented and stored for receipts. A seemingly endless voyage of immature chat logs, not unlike an Xbox Live party full of 12-year-olds. And once it was out for all to see, everyone else began coming forward. Deadlocks talked about the years of intimidation, violent threats, and harassment that had cost Adam 99% of their friends. Mitson, a former editor for Sky Media, detailed that there was a pervasive culture of crunch, a term used to describe contestant deadlines and overtime on projects, but that Mitson and many others worked 15 to 17-hour days to meet demands. The post was designed to be temporary, with promises made by Adam to turn Mitson into a talent, but of course, this never materialized. In an ultimate act of arrogance, Adam actually offered Mitson a contract they wanted him to sign that would buy out his name, channel, and a year-long non-compete with zero social media presence. In short, Adam wanted to own him the exact same way he owned everybody else, from his partners to his unborn child. Tim, another Sky Media employee, claimed that it was the darkest period of his life, and that the gaslighting and mental torture became almost too much to bear. Even now, he says he suffers with self-esteem issues and attempting to rebuild his confidence long after departing the company. Tim mentions that on one occasion, he wanted to go see his mother, who had suffered a heart attack. Anyone with a slither of a conscience would understand and likely support their team member, especially on a YouTube production where camaraderie tends to be high and bonds can be formed. But in this instance, his loyalty was tested and his position threatened. But the one that really raised the collective eyebrow was the account of Sub-Zero Extrabyte, the 24-year-old who worked for Sky for nearly a decade, starting at the age of just 15 years old and putting in a staggering 20-hour workday on the regular for them. There was a point where I was editing 6 videos, did 6 thumbnails per day, and 2 animations per month for the guy. I worked so incredibly hard. My parents and I were even willing to relocate just so I could continue working for him because of all of the promises he made. After all that hard work and loyalty to him, one day I get this email and it was over. He didn't even have the courtesy to tell me himself. He never thanked me or even acknowledged me anywhere for running almost everything on his channel for so many years. I was crushed. Sub attaches a termination notice, which you can find on his Twitter, citing the 10-day notice out of nowhere, a callous and cruel act, but not one we've not seen before. And then there were others who were completely chased off the platform, like Munching Brotato, destroying his income entirely, and now leaving him struggling to pay the bills and only just getting the confidence to livestream once more. Sky went as far as to share and edit private DMs the two had exchanged, making Munching look bad to Sky's 2 million followers and ensuring lingering fans even harass them to this day. A lot of us work on YouTube for a career, and it's one thing if you dislike someone. But for you to utilize a fan base, which has a population higher than the state of New Mexico, is grotesque. And just a sidebar here, we've touched upon the damages of parasocial relationships here on Darkside. But never let it be said that the callousness of diehard fans isn't acknowledged when they have a goal to work towards. Some people see their chosen idol as a god and will do anything for them. It's not healthy. It is not appropriate. And those individuals should definitely seek help. None of us, absolutely none of us, are that special. We are not to be worshipped and glorified. We are people and we are flawed. I want you to all remember that when you think about operating on behalf of a content creator. The writers, myself, anybody on this channel. Moving on. Oh no, we're still not done. Following from the pattern of bullying, isolation, and manipulation of the facts, Sky would do this to more individuals, like Gizzy Gaza, who detailed the way Adam went out of their way to ensure people did not work with Gizzy, cut him off from the community, and even gave him a derogatory and sexual nickname, which Gizzy had asked repeatedly to not be called due to their content going out to children. This did not deter Adam, who encouraged his legion of followers to do it anyway. For the sake of time and brevity, I will not detail everyone's full experiences here. Those are readily available in a slew of documents posted by the individuals on Twitter. But rest assured, it follows a constant pattern by Sky. Targeted harassment, bullying, manipulation, isolation, and overall abuse, while the individual did their best to do a good job and be a good friend. It was also mentioned that during the 2020 Speaking Out movement, a prominent Minecraft YouTuber was brought up but not publicly named. This was, in fact, Sky. Lastly, there was Alessa, who brought up the fact that Adam uses both people and animals to get what he wants, remarking on the time where Dawn, his older ex, and Alessa came together to write an affidavit against them, whereupon Adam bribed Dawn with their pit bull Rascal from their relationship in a bid to keep her quiet and discredit Alessa. This on top of the disturbing fact that Adam has had four other dogs they've ultimately passed on to their mother or other people as they obstinately refuse to rehome them properly. Well, it's enough to get the blood boiling even more. And this, of course, played out as one would expect it to with someone like Adam. They went silent, have not uploaded or provided a statement of any kind, and their one action in this entire debacle is self-aggrandizing. Sell their channel for a cool million and then ride off into the sunset to live their life out in luxury. Speaks volumes to the person Adam Dahlberg is and the connection that they have from their victims and everyone else. Men, women, children, babies, dogs, and anything in between. It didn't matter to Adam, and apparently it still doesn't. All that has ever mattered is them, and that's likely all that ever will. Part 3, Conclusion. While there can be degrees of Adam's behavior partitioned and understood as aspects of untreated bipolar disorder and being on the autistic spectrum, it is incredibly reductive and harmful to assume either were the driving force behind their decisions to behave in the manner they did. Autism does not make you try to buy your baby while it's in your partner's womb for $100,000. It does not make you abuse your dogs or gaslight multiple women. Bipolar disorder does not push you to be abusive mentally, physically, and sexually. It does not solely encourage you to throw food your loved one makes across the floor while screaming at her that you're not going to eat it, nor does it grip a hold of you and urge you to force your partner to break the things that she loves. These are factors in a potentially dangerous person, but millions of individuals around the world have autism and bipolar disorder, neither of which make the vast, vast majority do such horrible things. The media has a habit of putting all manner of superlatives onto a person of prominence as a paltry way of justifying or explaining their actions. But oftentimes, with the simplest answers, they are often the ones we conclude with. That people can be born this way and enhanced by the environment in which they were brought up. Adam has said, on many occasions, he grew up in a volatile environment. An alcoholic, abusive father and a mother who tried on repeated occasions to end her life, and a sister in and out of rehab. These are deeply damaging environments for anyone. Adding in mental health issues and eventually an empire with more exposure, money, and fame than most folks experience in their 20s? That's potentially going to add badly for most. As we continue, I have to note where things are currently at, which in turn means I have to acknowledge one of the wildest things Adam has done in the wake of the accusations, and his lack of response to it. As some of you will know, Adam's channel was substantial in size, and utilized by someone else could still likely bring in a large income if a full rebranding is done. It's not likely, but it's been attempted before and does not deter entrepreneurial types without a slither of a conscience who don't mind playing vulture to these dead channels. So, perhaps it won't be a surprise to anybody to learn that Adam attempted to sell their account for a staggering $900,000 in May of this year. To the best of our knowledge, it's not been successful. But you know how it goes, Darksiders. You try to sell a polished turd, well, it's still a turd. I think the lack of remorse for what they did and a desire to distance himself from it while making a tidy profit is what really ramps up the gross factor. This sense of turning a scandal into capital profit isn't anything new, but it's still something you just have to really wrap your head around. Now, Adam is left in a situation many of his disgraced compatriots find themselves in, living in obscurity, destitute, with no outlet for his creativity, and their name dragged through the mud for the deeds they committed. forever known as an abusive, paranoid, hate-filled, homophobic, racist predator. It's apropos, I think, that their first moniker was that of Net Nobody, and their last was the rebranding to Sky Does Everything, before the walls came crashing down around them and exposed them for the monster they were. The townsfolk, seeing the creature of the night, they desperately try to cast out with torches and pitchforks, ready to drive the beast from their community once and for all. Because now and forever, Adam has a permanent title to go by. Sky Does Nothing. And thankfully, they never will again. Hey guys, I just want to take a quick second to revisit something that the writer of this particular entry had input, and that was the discussion about how, you know, bipolar disorder and autism is not something that inherently will make you, you know, engage in violent or horrible acts. Of course, I myself have my own fair share of mental health issues, and I think the big thing to take from this is that at the end of the day, we as people as a whole, mental health, you know, position or normalcy or non-neurodivergent, you know, whatever the case may be, we all have decisions to make in our lives. And I think it's important that we recognize that it's not necessarily about the right stuff or the wrong stuff, because that kind of thing is subjective. But trying to be a better person each day as we grow and we learn from the mistakes that we, you know, did make or have made, and choosing to be better for them and to learn and to, you know, just be fucking kind to each other is huge. So, I don't know. I leave you with the thought of reminding you to be kind to yourself in the best way that you can, and be kind to the people around you, because you never know who really needs it at the end of the day. Well, that's it for me, Darksiders. As always, join us for another episode. Don't forget to hit like, subscribe, or whatever it is that you cool cats do nowadays on these crazy social media applications. And by the way, don't do anything I wouldn't do.